Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to begin in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, and we want to look at verses 13 and 14 together. Paul wrote to the Philippians and from jail. He wrote this prison epistle, and he said here in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 3, he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul said there in verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind. Now the Apostle Paul is instructing us that there are some things in our past that we need to forget. He expresses this by saying things which are behind. In other words, things that have already happened, things that are in the past, things that you and I cannot change. The reason Paul instructs us to forget those things that happened in the past is because they will hinder us from going forward. He says in verse 13, reaching forth unto those things which are before. So you can't go in two directions at the same time. You can't go forward if you're constantly going backwards or living in the past. Paul is passing along this lesson to us that he has learned by experience. He says in verse 13, "I count myself to have apprehended." Obviously, Paul in the past had tried living in the past and not forgetting those things that he should have. I believe it hindered his work in the Lord until the Lord showed him differently. So Paul is telling us, learn from my experience. The reason Paul tells us, forgetting those things which are behind, is because it hinders us reaching our goal. And what's the goal? Well, the goal, Paul says in verse 14, he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." In other words, serving the Lord according to his will, fighting the good fight of faith, finishing the course, keeping the faith. You see, you and I, we can't do that unless we forget those things that have happened in the past. Unless you look forward and not backwards. You need to be looking, as the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. And, you know, I can probably, most of you can probably quote that I read from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. But you shouldn't be not only able to quote it, which is good, but you need to do it. You need to live it. Amen. Today, I want us to look at some things in the past that we need to forget, or things that keep us from going forward. The first thing I want us to look at that keeps us from going forward is past sins. Past sins. You know, the devil, another title for him is, or he goes by, is a accuser of the brethren. The devil will tell you that God can't use you because of some past sin in your life. And what you need to do is remind the devil what the Word of God says. The Word of God says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from one or two sins? A few sins? No, from all sin." Amen. Notice what the Apostle Paul said about himself over there in 1 Timothy. If you turn there to 1 Timothy with me. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, notice what Paul says about himself. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verses 12 through 15, he says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, now listen to this, of whom I am chief. Amen. Despite his past sins, Paul had persecuted the church. God mightily used him after his conversion. Amen. He didn't allow the devil to beat him over the head with his past sins. Amen. He was mightily used of the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. How about the woman at the well in John 4 that Jesus dealt with? She had been married 5 times, and the current man she was living in sin was with not her husband. Despite her past and current sins, upon her conversion, the Lord used her to bring many to him. Look with me in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. In chapter 4, beginning in verse 29, we'll look at 29 and 30 together. It says, she ran into the city. She left her water pot. And she said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Amen. She didn't allow her past sins. Amen. Allow the devil to beat her over the head for keep her from going forward. Amen. So don't allow the devil to bang you over the head about your past sins. Remember, the Lord can and will use you for his honor and glory despite your past. Even after being saved, the Christian will sin. The devil will use that against you. He will tell you that you've lost your testimony and that you're all washed up for the Lord. Again, use the sword of the Spirit. Use the sword on him, the word of God. Remind him of God's promise. God gave us a great promise there for when we sin. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he says this, notice, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Now, your situation will probably change because of your sin. Remember, there are always consequences to sin. For example, even though David was a man after God's own heart, his life was never the same because of his sins of adultery and murder. However, remember, God can still use you for his honor and glory after getting right with him. Remember, God is a God of second chances. Amen. Remember when Jonah finally got right with him? God gave him a second chance to go and preach to the heathen in the city of Nineveh. And that whole city got right with God. Amen. And God's judgment was stayed for a while. So what do we need to forget? We need to forget past sins. Number two, we need to forget past successes. Past successes. You know, some Christians are living in the past and resting on past successes, you know, things they have done in the past. These folks like to constantly talk about their past, you know, their past successes and accomplishments in the ministry. And this kind of person likes to have the preeminence because they're always talking about what they did and what they accomplished in the ministry. And sometimes this individual will develop the attitude that they know and you don't. And basically, they're living on the memories of the past. This type of person can be a stumbling block to a ministry. Especially when a ministry is trying to go forward, this individual will keep trying to pull it back in the past. These type of folks are reluctant to hear and support new ideas. You see, change makes them feel like they no longer have control or are in charge. Sad to say, some folks don't even want to see a church grow and take on new members because they want things to remain the same. You see that you need to forget past successes and deal with the present and look forward to the future. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, the scriptures remind us, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And you can't have a vision if you're constantly living in the past, if you're living on the fumes of the past successes that you've accomplished in the ministry. You need to go forward. You need to deal with the here and now, amen, with the present. So if another thing that keeps us from going forward is past successes. So we need to forget past successes. Number three, we need to forget past sorrows. Past sorrows. Christians can get caught up and overwhelmed by past sorrows. You know, for example, the loss of a spouse or a loss of a child, a loss of a parent or a loss of a sibling or a loss of a friend. A Christian can allow grief to overcome them and end up in a deep depression. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that it's all right and appropriate for a Christian to grieve over the loss of a loved one. In fact, if you don't grieve properly, then you can end up doing yourself some emotional damage. Grieving, my friend, is a natural process human beings are to go through. But if it's not put in a proper perspective, it can keep a Christian from going forward in his service for the Lord. We are told in Genesis chapter 23 and verse 2 that Abraham mourned and wept over the loss of his wife Sarah. And after he gave his wife a proper burial, then in the next chapter, 24 of Genesis, we see that Abraham sends out his servant to find a bride for his son Isaac. You see, Abraham did not allow his sorrow for his wife to overwhelm him. He got back to the business of life and serving the Lord. So we need to forget past sorrows. Past sorrows will keep us from going forward. I'm not saying we should forget the past memories or the good times we had with that loved one and the special things that we shared, but we need to forget the sorrow. We need to put it in the past. Amen. If we don't, it'll keep us from going forward to serving the Lord. Number four, we need to forget past slights. Past slights. A Christian has to be careful not to allow past slights from keeping him going forward, keep him from serving the Lord. You see, a root of bitterness has destroyed more Christian friendship in churches than anything else. The Word of God tells us about bitterness. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. In Ephesians, chapter 4, in verses 31 and 32, we read, "Let all bitterness, wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So the Word of God says we're to put away bitterness. We're to put away bitterness. Now turn with me to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, look at in verse 15 with me. It says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." We see not only where to put away bitterness, because why? Bitterness defiles, amen? Defiles you and I if we allow it to continue to stay and grow and grow and grow and grow, and it'll keep us from going forward. Notice how the Apostle Paul dealt with past slights. Look at in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy with me. In 2 Timothy, look at chapter 4 of 2 Timothy with me. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, look with me in verses 16 and 17. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Paul was deserted by his friends. He said, all men forsook me. And he did not allow a root of bitterness to spring up and defile him. He did not allow past slights to keep him from going forward, to serving the Lord, finishing his course. Notice what Paul prayed there in verse 16. He said, I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge. most of us, our reaction would be, I hope they get what they deserve. Amen? You see, Paul didn't allow past slights to take his eyes off the Lord, keep him from going forward. You see, Paul had his eyes on the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we need to forget past slights. Number five, you and I, we need to forget past shepherds. Past shepherds. You know, one thing that has a devastating effect on a local church is when a shepherd or the pastor falls to sin. You know, the first church that I was in after I was saved, the pastor fell to adultery. That church eventually ended up closing its doors. And as a result, some of that congregation stopped going to church, stopped serving the Lord. It was sad. Some folks worshiped that man and not the Lord and felt it was okay for him to continue to pastor. A pastor is someone that you should be able to trust in and depend upon. He should set the example for the rest of the church to follow, amen? The Apostle Peter instructed pastors in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3. He says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Amen? We're not to be, pastors are not to be dictators. We're not to beat people over the head, amen? We're to be examples, amen? We're to minister to people. Would it be the examples for others to follow? The Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Now, the key here in the verse is follow the pastor as long as he's following Christ. And if he is following Christ, then he also is following the Word of God, because you can't follow Christ and not follow the Word of God. Now, when you see the man of God deviating from the Scriptures, then stop following him, because he's no longer following Christ. And I'm not just talking about the obvious sins like committing adultery or stealing church funds, but the not so obvious, like using the perverted Bibles, the NIV, the NASB, and the Living Bible, etc., etc. I think this is obvious, but some folks don't. Another thing would be stop following that person if he allows a woman to take a pulpit as a preacher and be addressed as a reverend. The Bible says a woman is not to do that, is not to be a preacher or a pastor, amen. But what do we see? Churches all over America today with women pastors, amen. And it's an abomination because the Scriptures are against it, amen. The Word of God says women are not to serve the Lord in that capacity. Remember what Psalm 118 verse 8 reminds us. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. If you put your trust in the Lord, you'll never go wrong, because the Lord will never ever disappoint you. He'll never, ever leave you or forsake you. He'll never let you down. Man will. Amen. So we need to forget. Amen. We need to forget past shepherds. And we need to forget, number six, past sheep. Past sheep. What I mean by past sheep is Christians who have broken fellowship with God because of sin in their life and won't get right. It's a hard thing to do, isn't it? They have nothing to do with Christians that you once fellowshipped with. However, if they won't get right with God, they're going to pull you down. They're going to keep you from serving God. They're going to keep you from going forward, especially if they once attended the church you were in. What's going to happen? They're going to plant negative seeds in your mind against the pastor. And before you know it, you'll start being negative toward the pastor and the ministry of the church. And you'll end up leaving that church and have the chastening hand of the Lord come down on you. You see, the Scriptures are very clear. We are separate from Christians who won't get right. Look, for example, with me in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 with me. In Romans chapter 16 In verses 17 and 18, Paul says, "Now I beseech you." He begs them, he pleads with them. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." Now he's saying mark them, you know, notice them, point them out, those that cause division. And those that cause division, offenses, are ones that go against what the Word of God says. And he says not only mark them, you know, point them out, notice them, but he says avoid them, have nothing to do with them, don't fellowship with them. And he goes on and he tells you why. "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ." See, these folks do not serve the Lord. He says, but who do they serve then? "But their own belly, and by good words and fierce speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." See, all they're in it is for their own, what they can get, amen, to puff themselves up. And what they do is they try to pull out, amen, the weaker Christians, the new baby Christians, amen, with their good words and fierce speeches, you know. They play kissy face. They'll come and hug you and tell you how much they love you and so forth and so on. But you're to avoid these people, amen, those that are contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, according, you know, those that walk contrary are in opposition to the Word of God. We're to avoid them, mark them, point them out. Now, looking in Matthew 18, God gives us a way. One thing that the reason so many churches are having problems today is because they don't practice church discipline. And the Word of God shows us how we're to deal with members that won't get right. Matthew 18, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." So if someone's wronged you, has offended you, you're to go to that individual and tell them so, and hopefully they'll get right, and they'll say they're sorry and ask for your forgiveness. In verse 16, "But if they will not hear thee," if they won't do that after you've told them what they've done, how they've offended you, how they've hurt you, or whatever, "but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." Okay, so you go to that brother or sister in Christ, try to deal with them individually, tell them how they've hurt you or offend you, and if they won't get right, they won't ask for your forgiveness, you're to take one or two more witnesses with you to confront that individual. Now, it says in verse 17, "And if he shall neglect to hear them," you and the other two people you've taken with you, the other two witnesses or one other witness, "tell it unto the church." In other words, take that individual before the church. "But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." In other words, if they won't get right, you've given them three chances to get right. You go to them individually to get right, they won't get right. You take one or two other individuals with you to help them to get right, they won't get right. Take it before the church, they won't get right then. Then you treat them as a publican, a heathen, as someone that's unsaved. Amen. In other words, you don't have fellowship with them. Amen. Let's look at one last place here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. See, that's something that's not being practiced in churches today, is church discipline. But it's the whole counsel of God. It's in there. You know, it's a hard thing to do, but if you do it, you're going to have peace and unity in your church. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. "Now we command you, brethren." Paul's commanding. Here's a command. "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." He's commanding. He's writing the second letter to the church at Thessalonica. And he's saying, "Now we command you, brethren." Not only is he commanding them, but he's commanding them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, "that you withdraw yourselves," you know, pull back from, have nothing to do with, don't fellowship with, "from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after tradition which he received of us." Amen. Again, someone that won't get right with God, won't live for God, won't do what's right, amen, "that walks disorderly, In other words, it's walking counter to what the Word of God says. We're to withdraw ourselves from that individual, amen, and have nothing to do with them. Because if you don't, you know, some people say, well, I'm going to help straighten them out, and, you know, I don't, listen, they're going to pull you down. That's what's going to happen, and you're going to end up with the same, be walking disorderly and contrary to the scriptures as they are. They're going to pull you down. You're not going to pull them up. Amen. Pray for them. Pray for them to get right with God, to repent of their sins. Amen. That's what you need to be doing. So we need to forget past sheep. In our lesson today on the pastor study, we've looked at some things in the past that we need to forget. We saw we need to forget past sins. Amen. Don't let the devil use your past sins to beat you over the head and tell you God can't use you. Because God's forgiven your sins, and if you sin, you confess them, and he's going to forgive you of your sins. We need to forget past successes, things we've accomplished in the past. Start living in the past and live in the future. Past sorrows, amen, past sorrows. The loss of a loved one. Pray, don't let it overcome you with the grief. Grief for the individual, but don't let it get out of hand and keep you from serving the Lord. We need to forget past slights, how we've been slighted by other Christians. Put off that root of bitterness, amen, because it'll defile you. We need to forget past shepherds, you know, pastors that have failed us, that have fallen to sin, amen. We need, as we saw, to forget past sheep, people we once fellowship who won't get right with God. My friend listening today, is there something that you need to forget? In other words, something that you need to put in the past and leave it there. Is there something that's keeping you from going forward? Something that's keeping you from serving God, reaching forth? Something that has taken your eye off the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus? Whatever it is, won't you come to God today and have him help you with it? Help you to just leave it and put it behind so you can go forward. And be and accomplish everything that God would have you to do and to be. He's waiting there to help you. Well, that's all the time we have on the pastor study today. Again on the pastor study, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.